Our blessed God and our Father, we look forward to that day when we'll be with our Savior, thy beloved Son. We thank thee for this hope that we have before us to be with him and like him. Oh, gracious God, we do thank thee for him. And now this afternoon, we would just ask for thy blessing upon thy word as we would open it up. We would pray for thy guidance of thy Spirit, and our hearts might be open to receive thy precious word. And we thank thee now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The brother brought before us three things that are needed in justification. We had that in the fifth chapter in the ninth verse. Much more being now justified by his blood, and that's the foundation. Then you turned us to Romans 3, and you said in the 24th verse, being justified freely by grace, it comes by grace, not by law. So you can only have it on God's terms, on grace. And then you said, 28th verse, the way that we receive it is through faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And now, what we had in that bottom part of that fifth chapter, the 18th verse, said, therefore, as by the one offense, I just go down to the bottom because that's what I want to. It says, all men unto justification of life. What is justification of life? Is that we get a new life, the very life of the head? So we have a life that's justified. Is that, Bob?
I take it it is that new life that wants to do what God commands. I remember one of our older brothers, I think it was A.C. Brown, saying, the Old Testament was, do this and you will live. The New Testament it is, live and you will do this. That's the commands of the New Testament. That helps to understand.
Because we had justification in connection with sins, those that fruit, but now it seems that not just our standing, but we have life in this head of this new race. Is that right? Okay, I just...
It's our new standing, isn't it? Our new standing. Justification of life is our new standing. And our new position we're in.
So God doesn't see me as the old Jim Hyland. He sees me in the light of the new life that I have. Yeah. I have justification of life. And before we go on to the next chapter, I'd just like to make a comment, too, in connection with this statement in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, because we might wonder, why did God give the law? Now, we know that the law was never given as a passport to heaven. Never. People that say they have to keep the law to get to heaven, they really don't understand why the law was given. And if a man could have kept the law, which of course he couldn't, he would have had endless life on earth, but never a passport to heaven. So you say, why did God give the law? Well, there was sin before the giving of the law. We know that. By one man's disobedience, sin entered, and death by sin. We also find that man got a conscience when he sinned, and that conscience told Adam he had done wrong. And every person born into this world has a conscience that tells them they're doing wrong. But with the law came transgression, because the law showed not only that man had sinned and come short of the glory of God, but it showed how far short it had come. Let me use a little illustration. I come from the town of Smiths Falls, Ontario, and the speed limit on the main street of Smiths Falls is 30 miles an hour, 50 kilometers an hour, which would equate to about 30 miles an hour in the States here. But suppose there was no speed limit in the town of Smiths Falls, and I drove down the main street of Smiths Falls at 60 miles an hour. I have a conscience that tells me that's too fast. For the circumstances, that's too fast to drive down the main street of Smiths Falls. But if there was no speed limit posted, the police couldn't stop and give me a fine. Because there was no standard. But the law brought in God's standard. The law entered to show just how far man had fallen. So now they post a speed limit in Smiths Falls, and I go too fast down the main street. Now I'm transgressing a known law, and that's what transgression is. It's the breaking of a known law, and so the police now can stop me, and there are laws that tell them how much of a fine they can give me depending on how much I had gone over the speed limit, to what extent I had broken the law. And so God gave the law to Moses to show just how far short man had fallen. Not only that, but he took the Jew, who was a specimen of humanity, and placed him in the best of circumstances to show what all humanity was like. Not just what the Jew was like, but I say again, it was a specimen of humanity placed in the best of circumstances, again, to show that without something brought in by God through grace on the grounds of what God could do through his Son, there would be no blessing for man. Man could not take one step to better himself. Man couldn't keep the law. Man could not better his condition before God. It proved what man was in himself. And so where the law entered that the offense might abound, but wonder of wonders, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
We might want to look at the difference, what we see in justification in chapter 5. It brings before us, as you brought out earlier, Jim, that it's having a nature that has never sinned. But when it talks about justification of life, it's really talking about a contrast. It's talking about the contrast of those who are identified with the fallen Adam and now a man with the new creation. So justification of life is identified with the man who has life, who is the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus is that life. We have that life. So we have a nature that has never sinned like Christ, like the Lord Jesus. So it's really building up a little bit further in depth just how that connection is. Justification of life is having a life like the Lord Jesus himself, never having sinned.
Just like to mention, too, in verse 21 of chapter 5, it says that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign